You're listening to Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatow. Up next, some advice on what to get that special geek in your life. We are in the thick of the holiday shopping season. Tonight is the first night of Hanukkah. It's getting a little late to get that gift in, but if you're still looking for a gift for your favorite geek, should you get an iPhone or a Droid, a Zune or a Touch, a netbook or a MacBook? Well, maybe the there is a technophile in your family who needs a new gizmo, something new, you know, first adopter maybe. And what should you do? What should you shop for? Well, we have some help for you. Mark McCluskey is the senior editor for products at Wired Magazine, who's going to help us sort through the technological stuff you might be considering. He joins us from KQED in San Francisco. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hey, good afternoon, Ira.
Good afternoon. And our number is 1-800-989-8255. If you've got a question, a suggestion about a geeky or technology question you'd like, 1-800-989-8255, or you can tweet us at ScienceFry, at SciFry, at S-E-I-F-R-I, or go to Second Life. Well, Mark, is there anything new, any technology standouts this year that are must-haves for the geek in your life?
I mean, I think there have been a couple of big technology stories this year. I think probably the biggest is the continued success of the iPhone and iPod Touch and that whole ecosystem that's been created with all the applications that have been written for it.
Interesting way of putting it. It is its own ecosystem, isn't it?
It is. I mean, we're up over 100,000 applications available at the App Store, which is just an astonishing change from, you know, if you think 2 years ago, you and I actually talked about cell phones when Android was announced, and the world is completely different. That conversation couldn't take place in any way, shape, or form today.
Well, is there an app that you would say is an outstanding app, if we're talking iPhones, that everybody should have, or an app that helps you find other apps?
I'm a huge fan of a few apps. You know, there are things that I just find utterly indispensable in my life. The Pandora application for the iPhone and iPod Touch. Pandora is the streaming radio service, music service, that is just sort of uncannily able to surface new music to you that you find interesting and compelling based on sort of what you tell it about what you like. You sort of rate songs as it plays it, and it gets better and better at sort of divining what you might find interesting. And so I'm a huge fan of that. And then sort of the social media aspect of things. I'm a big fan of a Twitter application called Tweety.
Tweety,
as in the bird, but IE instead of Y. It is just a real great demonstration of how elegant these applications have gotten and how developers have really pushed the boundaries of what you can do on a telephone. It's pretty amazing.
I think one of the really interesting new gadgets out now is, speaking of the internet, is sort of an internet radio box, like the Squeeze box or something like that.
Squeezebox is a terrific thing. You know, there's a lot of things out there that are sort of streaming media, and I think that's going to be a thing that we hear even more about next year. Actually, I think next year could be the time where that really tips over into the mainstream. Mm-hmm. You've got TiVo interacting with things like Pandora and internet radio. You have a system like Sonos makes, which is a multi-room audio system that is incredibly well-designed. It's one of those great moments in sort of playing with gadgets where you plug something in and it just works the way you hope it would. There's sort of no futzing around, which is always kind of a little miniature triumph for sort of good design. And so I think you're going to see more and more of that happening in the next year.
All right, now, people are going to be shopping now. As you say, the iPhone is an ecosystem of itself. Second running now is the Droid. How do you compare the two?
You know, they're very different pieces of hardware. I actually prefer the Android software to the Droid hardware as it's currently configured. I find the keyboard of the Droid itself not to be particularly compelling, the physical keyboard that's on there, and so that it just ends up adding weight. I would actually be more interested in a version with the sort of virtual keyboard, and I think we can expect that not too long from now. But I think the Droid is, you know, a very, very good phone. And if you're sort of not interested in sort of getting on the Apple and especially AT&T bus, And if you're a Verizon customer, the Droid's a terrific option. It's a very well done phone.
Mm. What about the new electronic books, the new readers?
The new e-readers.
Yeah. Is there one that stands better than the others in your mind?
We still prefer the Kindle. To Barnes & Noble has just released in this past week what they are calling Nook, which is their e-reader. As a piece of hardware, the Nook is a little more interesting. Instead of the keyboard, the physical keyboard that's on the Kindle 2, it actually has a touch screen. Mm-hmm. But the software on this first version of the Nook just doesn't quite measure up. Page turning is a little bit slow, and some of the features are a little bit half-baked. And again, that's something that you might expect to get better as Barnes & Noble pushes out revisions to the software. But right now, we're still more inclined to the Kindle.
And one cheaper object you might want to buy is a Sci-Fi mug, which we have on sale at Science Friday's website.
Exactly.
Non-tech mug. We've heard a lot about new media delivery systems like Hulu. I mean, there are people who are getting off the grid, and I don't mean the electric grid. I'm meaning the cable, the satellite grid. And
the content grid.
The content grid, and going straight to these sources now where they can just download at will, right?
You get an interesting curve. You know, on the easier end are things like, you know, using iTunes and paying for sort of television. Let's use television as an example. You're paying for iTunes subscriptions or watching Hulu on your computer. You know, those are relatively easy to do. Depending on how much TV you watch, they actually might not be cost effective compared to a cable subscription. And then you sort of get into cable and satellite. And, you know, those providers are really trying very hard with varying degrees of success to make a more compelling offering to their customers in terms of on-demand, I think, has been something that especially Comcast has looked at as a way to sort of counteract this sense that all this media is available to us whenever we want it online. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, at the far end, there's the Wild West of dubious to non-legality of things like BitTorrent, where almost anything you could think of, Ira, you could probably download. It's just a matter of are you willing to pay the technical and perhaps legal costs for doing so,
or the emotional
guilt, depending on what you're downloading. It really, yes, you know, it depends on.
Yeah. Let's go to Marlena in Basking Ridge, New Jersey. Hi, Marlena.
Hi, Ira.
Hi there.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My son is 24 years old. He is on Rusinga Island in Kenya, and does not have use of electricity that often. He does have an iMac. I don't know what to get him.
Goodness. How about there's a challenge suggestion.
They have all those wind-up. There's a wind-up radio, which I have as my backup radio. Do you know about that one?
There's an idea.
There's a wind-up radio. There's a wind-up flashlight. There's a whole wind-up products, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of products that will let you do that. And there's also sort of a whole realm of solar chargers that will allow you to capture, you know, it's a small solar panel that will allow you to charge various devices. And so that may be enough.
Where would I find
Well,
that?
Even the wind-up radio has, that's how I listen mostly. It has a little solar top on it.
Uh-huh.
Right.
No, I did not know about that. That's a great idea. Anything else?
A fruitcake?
Well, I did try to send him a food package several months ago, and the ants got it before he did.
Oh, yeah, that's
tough spot there with his ants.
Yes. Well, I think those are two great suggestions that I really appreciate.
Google solar wind-up electronics and see what you have.
I will do that right now.
And happy holidays to you, Marlena.
Thank you so much. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
There are lots of interesting, speaking of which, there are these solar chargers for your phones now, right? These little trickle chargers
and
things for your dashboard. And
there are lots of solar chargers. There's going to be some more that we start seeing next year. We've had some looks at some things that are going to be announced at the electronic show, which is right after the first of the year. And then there's also, as we're talking about charging, another thing that we had in the magazine for our gift guide is a company called PowerMat does a sort of cable-free charging thing. So basically, you put a case on your iPhone or your BlackBerry or whatever device you have, and set it on a special mat, and it charges that device without plugging anything in. It's a magnetic induction system, which could be an interesting thing moving forward, especially if manufacturers start building that capability into the device. Right. You don't need the separate case for it.
I have a suggestion for a green idea that I just switched over to that. And you can give it as a gift. I think it's actually free. It's, you know, we have you have these here in the East. We have them called Easy Passes, you know, the kinds of thing for going through toll booths.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get a green one. If you have a Prius, I have one, you know, one of these cars, they'll give you 10% off on the as you go through the toll booth for having a green car.
Oh, and you can, interesting.
And it actually is green itself.
Oh, it's literally
and shows up
green.
On, yeah, it's literally green, so you can give that to somebody, you know, if you if they have one of these systems, as they are all different places around the country, and maybe that's a nice gift for going green.
For sure.
For somebody different. Anything else that's, that is a must-buy, Mark?
One of the strangest items that we have found almost completely obsessive at Wired is something called Buckyballs, which is a set of 216 small ball bearing size magnets, which I know as I say that you might be thinking, why would I possibly want that?
I'm thinking of Captain Queeg here. But
if you're the sort of person who likes to be fiddling with something with your hands, which not to draw broad conclusions, but lots of
Captain Queeg.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of us are. It's actually incredibly gratifying. You can sort of like pull it into various shapes. You can make cubes and triangles and hexagons and make all these very complicated geometric shapes with it.
It's, I like that.
It's really fun. It's deeply. I will warn you that if you get one, Ira, you will find yourself utterly addicted to it.
I still like that. Scary. I still like that the little that globe that you pull in and out. You know that it expands. Big piece of plastic. It gets I think that's just genius form of.
Yes, this is the even more mathy version of that.
Are there real flops? Stay away from this technology. It's not going anywhere.
You know, personally, I would. Windows 7 has just come out, and while it is certainly a vast improvement on what happened with Windows Vista, I'm always a believer that you would do better to let Microsoft do a first service pack on a lot of software before you make a big investment. You know, if you buy a new computer, a new PC, it's going to come with Windows 7 at this point, and I don't think you should be afraid of buying a machine with Windows 7. As I said, it's a radical step forward, but I would not be rushing out to buy a Windows 7 upgrade personally until they have a little more time out in the marketplace with
it. Pam in Shawnee, Kansas. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Ira.
Hi there.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I need to buy a new computer. I want a laptop, and I wanted to have a built-in signature pad for my work.
So a signature pad so you can sign documents like in Word or something?
Exactly.
Wow.
Well, I know they've been made before, and I think it was Acer that made them before, but I'm not quite sure about that.
You can get an add-on, you know, one of these writing tablets, can't you?
Yeah, and I have that, but
right.
I have right now I have an Apple computer, and they don't talk to each other. I work in a field that I need to get myself a PC, a regular, an IBM-based or whatever.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, let me just remind everybody that this is Science Friday from NPR News. Okay, Mark, go ahead.
I would say you have two options. One is I would check Lenovo, the PC maker, has typically been kind of pushing the boundaries in terms of input devices on laptops. And I believe, I'm not 100% positive on this, but I believe that in the past they have had a laptop that did have sort of the company's name is Wacom, a Wacom tablet built into the laptop itself. So that's one thing to check. The other
one more time. What was the name of that company? Lenovo?
Lenovo, which is the Chinese company that bought IBM. So they make ThinkPads. And they make terrific machines. The other thing that you could check out is one thing that's very interesting about Apple's right now is that you can run software on them that allow you to virtually run Windows in a separate application.
Fusion, Parallels, those two.
I haven't had success with that. I bought Parallel, and I bought, what was before Windows 7?
Windows Vista?
No, I bought XP.
Okay.
And I couldn't get it to work, and I went to my local Genius Bar at the Mac store, and they said, this isn't our problem, this is their problem. And then I went to where I bought the Windows XP, and they said, well, this isn't our problem. Yeah. This is a what? No,
go
Mac
on,
problem.
Go online. So, there are a lot of users groups. Mine's working fine. There are a lot of users groups that will help you out on that one.
Maybe that's what I should do.
Yeah. All right, good luck to you.
I would not give up on that.
No, don't
All right, thanks, Mark. Thanks, Ira.
What about anything new for, you know, the Xboxes, the Wiis, anything like that, those games that you got to have, anything that any game or an attachment or something that
I think the most interesting thing in that realm this year is actually a new version of the PlayStation 3 itself. If the first generation of PlayStation 3 was a really big machine, it was just a big bulky guy. Sony has released a slim version of the PS3 this year, and if you have not taken the plunge for a PlayStation 3, and especially if you're looking for a Blu-ray player, financially, you know, it's sort of a toss-up between just a standalone Blu-ray player and a PlayStation 3, and I would urge you to look at the PlayStation 3 if you're thinking Blu-ray.
Some people have done away with their whole computer system by just configuring it the right way and running everything on their television. You know?
It's really, you know, between things like the PS3 and the Xbox 360, which have all of these hooks into all these services, and, you know, sort of a generation of set-top boxes that includes, you know, Boxy, which is a sort of online media aggregating piece of software. They actually have a dedicated box coming out very soon, a very small little box, which could be a very compelling thing. I really think, as I said, that moving forward, you are going to see a lot of people sort of cobble together their own media universe outside of Comcast and DirecTV.
So the whole thing, the whole idea of a computer itself is going to go by the wayside.
I don't think the idea of a computer. I think that it's one of those things where where computers end up everywhere. If that sort of makes sense, that it's not going to be, I'm going to sit down at my desktop PC and word process now. It's going to be, you know, my phone, you know, the computing power in an iPhone or an Android phone is, you know, the same sort of stuff we were doing on the desktop 5 years ago. It's not.
Way, way before we were all born,
Exactly.
All right. Stay with
us. Back in the dark ages.
Oh, those dark ages of 5 years ago. Wow. Yes. Stay with us, Mark, for a few more minutes, can you? Thanks.
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to take a short break and come back more with Mark McCluskey, who is senior editor for products at Wired Magazine, 1-800-989-8255. Maybe you've got a suggestion for us as well as a question. We'll be right back after the break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from NPR News. You're listening to Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatow, talking with Mark McCluskey of Wired Magazine. We've got time for just a couple more questions. Let's see if we can go to the phones and talk about them. Let's go to Alaska. Hi, Tony in Anchorage. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, Ira. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi there.
I've got a couple of suggestions for maybe the college student or media junkie in your life.
All right.
First would be a new wireless router from Netgear. It's called the WNDR3700, and it's an amazing wireless router, simultaneous dual band N, if that means anything to you. It just means really, really fast internet connection inside your house. And it also has a built-in UPnP and DLNA-compliant media server.
Can't live without it.
Yeah. It means take all your movies and music and everything and plug them directly into your wireless router, and then you can stream them to other computers or directly to your TV via my next pick, which is by Western Digital. They just released a product called the WDTV Live. It's just a little box, maybe 3 by 3 inches, and you plug it HDMI directly into your new high-def TV, and you can stream all that media content that you had on the router. Or you can plug a hard drive directly into the media player and play all your content in HD, almost regardless of what format it's in.
Wow. Wow. I you don't need your cable anymore up there in Anchorage.
Nope. And you, that WD media player also plays internet media content like YouTube and Hulu.
Mark?
So,
yeah. Mark, a comment?
Yeah, I mean, I'm out of a job with Tony. You know, so, the WD Live is great. Seagate also has a very similar product, and it's interesting to see these companies that traditionally have made hard drives sort of get into this market because storage then becomes a big issue with all of this content.
Yeah, and as you're saying, and he's saying, the TV that we used to think of, the cable, you know, wireless TV, is a thing of the past. People are just avoiding it.
They are, you know, and you're starting – another thing that's happening is you're having a lot of that built into the TVs themselves,
yeah.
That there's a lot of internet connectivity in the television, so it'll bring in – you know, if you're watching an NFL football game, it'll bring in your fantasy football
right.
team and have a little sidebar that's telling you how
right.
your fantasy football team's
right.
doing.
As long as we can get our baseball on those things, I'm okay. One last question for you before we go, and this is probably a key, and C.J. Atwood – sends a tweet in on this, and this is what a lot of people are thinking. Should I buy a computer now or after Christmas?
Oh, the dreaded when to buy a computer. You know, it's
when is that Lenovo price coming down? I think he wants
exactly. you know, it's so let me answer it in two parts. If you are buying an Apple computer, Apple traditionally will release new models in January, and so if you are really desperate for like the latest and greatest, and it's going to break your heart if 6 weeks later there's a slight tweak to the processor speed. You might want to hold off. It does leave you with nothing under the tree or to unwrap. Generally, I think that we aren't seeing the sort of velocity of change in hardware specs that we saw 3 years ago. You know that.
Yeah.
We've had computer speeds have plateaued a little bit, that there's plenty of processing power, and that what we're really seeing is the prices come down for equivalent mm-hmm. powers. But we're not mm-hmm. seeing that sort of like, oh, now there's a computer out 6 weeks from now that's twice as fast
yeah.
as what
yeah.
I just bought for the
yeah.
same price. You know, that
yeah.
that isn't happening as much anymore.
All right. Well, there you go. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for all the stuff you've suggested today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
Happy holiday to you and great geek stuff.
Thank you very much.
Mark McCluskey is a senior editor for products at Wired Magazine. He joined us from KQED in San Francisco.